Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
As we prepare our hearts for beginning in chapter 1, verse 4, through chapter 3, the wealth of the believer. That's how we're going to divide this book into three areas. First of all, the wealth of the believer. I'm going to have a homework assignment for you at the end of our message. You guys ready for that? A homework assignment, okay? I know a lot of you, it's been a long time since you've been in school, but we're always in school, are we not? With the Lord. Chapters 4, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 9 is the walk of the believer. So we're going to learn about the wealth of the believer. Then as we go through the book, we're going to see about the walk of the believer. It's always wonderful that we find what God has done for us first, then he brings in the responsibility of us to respond to him in what he has done on our behalf. And then chapter 6, verse 10, to the end of the chapter, we will look at the warfare of the believer. God has done so much for us, and we are to walk in that, in him. And if we are to do that, we know there's going to be resistance from the enemy. No two ways about it. And that's what this book talks about. We talked about this book, the introduction, how it's broken down last week. So join with me in verse 1 of chapter 1, where Paul the Apostle introduces himself, an apostle, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 3, blessed. And you'll notice the message today, praise be to God. That word blessed means praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, we introduced it, the book, last week. And we looked at three verses here just a little bit as we went on to develop what the book is about. But today, we're going to take a little bit more time to dive into these three verses as we introduce, again, the blessings that are found in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Over 40 specific blessings. That's going to be your homework this week. I want you, please, if you would like to do this, and even if you wouldn't like to do it, I'd like you to just spend time to go from verse 4 all the way through chapter 3 and see how many specific blessings that you can find that belong to us. And we're going to talk about some of those so you'll have an example of what I'm talking about in that way. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And I was thinking of some quotes that I've used throughout the years, that in a very real sense, you find them embedded in the book of Ephesians, but particularly the first three chapters. The first one that I wrote down, if things are tough, remember that every flower that ever bloomed had to go through a whole lot of dirt to get there. Isn't that true? In Ephesians, we'll learn that things are tough. There's warfare. That quote was from a lady named Barbara Johnson. Another thing I was thinking about is that salvation without discipleship is merely fire insurance. Paul's going to talk about discipleship. Excuse me, how important it is in our lives here. But discipleship, salvation without discipleship is merely fire insurance. Are you discipling somebody in your life, taking them through the Word? Another one I thought of is God does not want to be in your life. He wants to be your life. A world of difference. Many people want God to be in their life, but when it becomes lordship, they want the salvation, but when it becomes lordship, that means he is your life. Every aspect of it he has control of in that way. I love this one. I was thinking about this one. The Ten Commandments are not multiple choice. They're not. They are to be. So we see over and over the challenge from Paul through all the way through this to walk in faith, walk in love, walk in this, commandments that we are to follow. Margaret Thatcher said this, you may have to fight a battle more than once to win it. And that's why Paul says in here, stand fast, Stand fast in the midst of it. Stand in the principle. Stand in the truth. Stand in everything that you know about God over and over and over, because battle will come. It's not always won instantaneously. God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. Isn't that a good one? I love that one. And then I love this one. Everything in God's store is on the bottom shelf. You have to get on your knees to get it. Robert Collier said that. And so you can accomplish more in 1 hour with God than one lifetime without him. I believe that can be pointed to every blessing in the heavenly places as we understand what those blessings are, how they apply to our lives, how we're to walk in those blessings, all that it means to us, and that it's completed because those blessings come from heaven. They come from God, and they're for each and every one of us. And it's a done deal. Again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has, what's the tense? It's done deal. Blessed us with every, how many spiritual blessings? All spiritual blessings. It's just an amazing thing. So Paul opens this book by simply saying, I'm Paul. I used to be Saul, but now I am Paul. Paul means little. Saul meant elevated. So God, in changing his name, took him from one that was elevated and esteemed, and he broke him way down to be Paul, who was little and all. And that was very important. Paul found the secret of blessing. The secret of blessing was that he decreases and God increases. Now, he was allowed to be an apostle. An apostle is nothing more simply than a messenger. Some describe an apostle of a person, for instance, like Chuck Smith, if you're familiar with Chuck Smith. He started a church in Costa Mesa, California, and then all these hippies got saved there back in the 70s. You see that? And they just got saved. And out of that were all these weirdos like Mike McIntosh and Raul Ries and, you know, Greg Laurie and these different guys, just absolutely weirdos, man. They really were. And then out of them, these guys became pastors of all things. Greg Laurie became a pastor at age 19 and just it started multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And today there's close to 2,000 Calvary chapels throughout the United States. And so out of Chuck's loins was this movement. And many see him as an apostle because these churches came out of this one church and stayed there around that church. Chuck never liked that, and that's probably a good sign that he was used by God to be a messenger. A messenger who is sent, more specifically, it is a person who takes the message of Jesus Christ to those who have not heard it. Wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Taking the message of Jesus Christ. We went down to Florida this week to sunny Orlando, 85 degrees, sun shining. See my little tan? Just a little bit. But we were in seminar after seminar after seminar, so I couldn't spend a lot of time there. But so it was a great time, and I'll talk about it a little bit more. But on the way back on Southwest Airlines, Randall was over in the aisle seat, and I was the window seat, and there was a middle seat. And all of a sudden, this guy sits down. He is alive. His name is Chilga. And turns out that he was born in Turkey. And so he was born into a Muslim environment. But then when he got a teenager, he was too much to handle for his parents, so they send him away to a boarding school. And then in the boarding school, he got to know about Jesus Christ. And so he's just sitting, and this guy is wound up. He really is. He is totally wound up, you know. And Randall's over there, and this Chilga is right in the middle. He's right there. And on his shirt, he has this advertisement, pro-marijuana, okay? Make marijuana legal, okay? So, woo, we thought we're into something right there and all that. And he just went on and on. And I'm telling you, imagine the most verbal and excited person you've ever met and multiply it times 10. And we're just talking back and forth and all of, it's just amazing, But we got to be a messenger of Jesus Christ. Just got to talk to him and what do you believe? Well, I'm not sure. I know there's something. Well, if there's something, what is that something? I'm not sure, but I know it's there. you know, and all that. And have you ever really studied the Bible? Not really, even then and all that. So I opened the Bible and I said, here's Old Testament, New Testament, you know, and we just talked about that a little bit. And so just talked to him about John and who Jesus was. And he says, he stopped me right away. Is Jesus God or is he the Son of God? What would you say? Both. Both. But that's a good question from somebody who comes from a Muslim background, right? You know, they want to know. And I said, both. He kind of looked at me. Both? Yeah, he is. And so then able to get into who Jesus Christ is, being a messenger for Jesus Christ. Just amazing. And took him to the Gospel of John, took him to Romans, took him to the end. You want to know what it's going to be like in the end? It's in there? He goes, it's in there? And I go, yeah, it is. It's right in there. You want to hear it? And he goes, yeah. Okay, let's go there. Took him to Revelation 20 and 21 and 22 and did that. It's all there. Boy, you know, he didn't accept the Lord, but we planted and I gave him a track and told him, you know, to get a Bible and read the Gospel of John and all that. And it was just an amazing experience. Isn't it wonderful to be a messenger of Jesus Christ? It truly, truly is. And so that's what Paul's saying, an apostle. I'm a messenger of Jesus Christ. Notice, by the will of God. By the will of God. By the pleasure of God. By God's choice is what Paul's saying, because that is what God wanted. Today, I believe that you're in the midst of God's will. God's will. God's calling on your life. It's our entire job is simply to say, yes, sir. Whatever you want to do, sir, whatever it is, I just want to have the privilege of hearing it and walking in it. Notice again, it says, by the will of God. You want me to be a messenger? Do you want me to be a Sunday school teacher? You want me to be a home fellowship leader? Do you want me to be whatever you want me to be in the workforce? You want me to be this? You want me to be a student? You want me to do all this? Whatever it is you want to do, I just want to do it by the will of God. Very important we would do that. Remember that God is not interested in our abilities or our inabilities, but what? Our availability. Today, whatever he wants to do, we are to simply say, yes, sir. And so just for a moment, I've taught on this before, but just for a little bit here, notice it says there in verse 1, by the will of God. The will of God. How do we find the will of God? How many here think that is an easy thing to do? How many think that is a challenging thing to do? It is. There's an aspect of it that's very simple. You open the Bible and it says, don't lie. God's will. You open the Bible and it says, don't steal. You don't steal. You know, you open the Bible and it says, love those that persecute you. You love those that persecute you. You find the will of God that way. But outside of that, it becomes challenging. And I want to just give you 9 things. If you're taking notes, if anybody needs a pencil, borrow the one from the person next to you right there. If you don't have any paper to write on, use the person next to you, their palm or the back of their hand, whatever you want to do. And I've taught this before, but it may be new to some people that are here. Number one, how do we find the will of God? And I believe these are things that are supposed to line up in certain ways in our lives. Just have a love relationship with God. That's where it all starts from. Love the Lord God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. Every bit of your life, just be in love with him. And you're positioned at that point to find his will. He's such a good father. He's such a good God that he just takes us into his will when we don't even know it. It was his will there on that airplane. I honestly just wanted to sleep because I was down, you know, the sun was too much on me down there. The warmth, I couldn't get over the warmth. You know, down there, you guys were up here enjoying the cold. I was down there suffering in the warmth and all that. It was just too much for me, okay? And so I was there, sitting there, and I was just there, and I don't know, you know, you think, okay, Lord, is this you or not? He just says, I want you to witness to him. But Lord, I want to sleep. No, I want you to tell him I love you, or I love him. And I did. I told him that God loves you, you know? Just being open to what God, we have a love relationship. Number two, how do we find the will of God? We've got a love relationship with him. Number two is simple. I've already mentioned it. Be in the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I call that my low beam and my high beam. If I'm in the Word. Now, you don't want to do this. You don't want to have your Bible closed And you don't want to shut your eyes and then just open it anywhere and then go, and then that verse is the will of God for your life. Because it might be Judas hung himself and then go do likewise. You don't want to do that, okay? But we don't do it that way. But we're in the Word of God. We're disciplined in the Word of God. We've got a habit of being in the Word of God. And so then we are positioned so the Holy Spirit can speak to us because He knows exactly where we're going to be that day in the Word of God. Number three, have a life of prayer. You want to find God's will? It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him in that way. So we see that prayer is important to find the will of God. Number four, there's a peace that rules our heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. That word for rule is like you take an umpire in a baseball game, he rules what's going on in that game. He's the umpire of that. The Holy Spirit is the umpire of our heart. So it's not an emotion, though out of it can grow an emotion. One time, Vi and I were buying this house, and we prayed about it, and we felt that we had God's peace about it. We put a deposit down on it. We left there. We're driving home, and all of a sudden, we lost all peace. It wasn't necessarily this emotional thing. It was this inward thing. And I don't know why we made that decision, but it was there, God protecting us, that we thought we had His will, but we didn't have His will. And so that peace that goes beyond understanding, it's something in the midst of a circumstance. You ever been in a big trial, but you have this inner peace? Anybody ever been there? That's the peace that rules your heart. That's God in our lives. So we look for that. We have a love relationship with God. We're in His Word. We're people of prayer. We are sensitive to the peace that rules our heart. The next one we see, number five, we seek out wise counsel. In Proverbs it says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Very important to seek out wise counsel. Wise counsel will point us to Scripture. Wise counsel will point us to God and to make the decision with God and in God. Very important to do that. I guarantee you this, though. You can find any counsel you want. If you want to do something, you can find a person that will counsel you to do that. And so you have to be very careful where you go to make sure that person will take you to God, dependent upon God, not dependent upon them for their wisdom, but the wisdom of God will be there. Wise counsel. And the next one we see is circumstances. Number six, remember Gideon and his fleece. Now you have to be careful with fleeces, because fleeces only give you two options. You know, is it going to be dry or is it going to be wet? Is it going to be wet or is it going to be dry? God can use fleeces, but you have to be very careful when you're seeking His will. But it's important to understand that circumstances will be used by God. Different circumstances will bring this way, your way. He'll have a Christian come up and say, da, 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 and you'll go, wow, I just saw that in Scripture. I'm seeking God's will, and I just felt that in my heart, and there it was in Scripture, and somebody comes up and says something to me like that. Or I'll be I go to a Bible study, and in the midst of the Bible study, out comes this thing, and the Holy Spirit says, there, confirmation. That's how God uses circumstances. But be very careful. Take circumstances through wise counsel. Take circumstances through peace that rules your heart. Take circumstances through, make sure you're praying. Take circumstances definitely through the Word of God. Filter all the circumstances through every one of those. And then we see number seven, timing of events around us. Timing is a very important way God works. He just works that way. He brings it here. You're seeking Him this way. You need wisdom here. You're yielding your life to Him, and all of a sudden, boom! It's right there in front of you. This happens, and you recognize that circumstance is from God. And it's an affirmation that I'm heading down the right path. So we look for that. But be careful with circumstances. Be very careful with them. Make sure, again, and timing, the timing of circumstances and events, make sure you bathe it through wise counsel. You bathe it through the peace that rules your heart. You bathe it through prayer, and you bathe it through the Word of God. And then number eight, divine revelations. Can God speak to us through dreams? He can. He did in the Bible. God's the same yesterday, today, forever. Can God speak through using a person to prophesy? He can do that. A word of knowledge? Word of wisdom? Yeah, divine revelation in that way. Nothing weird and freaky, but be careful. Always be careful. I met a guy, and I've shared this before, that for 20 years prior to I had met him, he had tried to live his life to be an evangelist. And here's his testimony. He said, "Bill, I have lived for 20 years doing everything that I can to be an evangelist. And there's been no fruit, very little fruit to that." And this is what he said to me. He says, "I realized that I believed a person who prophesied over me and said, God is saying to you, you are to be an evangelist." And so he lived his life trying to do that. And he was a teacher. He says, "I've come to the point to realize that wasn't from God. I'm a teacher of God's word. And my ministry is now flourishing." I thought, I'm going to note that one. I'm going to be very careful to make sure that I weigh any divine revelation that comes my way. And then last, wait in faith. You love this one, don't you? Wait in faith. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." After all these things, then we just wait on the Lord in faith. Here's the bottom line, I believe. If you're in love with God and you find God, you'll find His will. It's that simple. Don't complicate it. Don't worry as much as we worry. We are to seek it out. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. No doubt Paul listened to the Lord, realized that he was an apostle, learned to walk in it, and God blessed him in very special ways. And so that was very important. Notice in verse 1, he says, "To the saints which are in Ephesus," and notice they are faithful in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we would be faithful like those in Ephesus. Now, it's interesting that in some manuscripts, the word Ephesus is not put in there. It's more of a blank statement. So many believe that the book is sent to not specifically the church in Ephesus, but to a broad group of churches there in the Asian area at that point. And that's fine too, but notice it's to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Very important that we would understand that, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful that are in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 2. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." As we mentioned last week, grace is a Greek greeting. It means to receive something completely undeserved. Peace is the Hebrew greeting, shalom. It contains the idea of enjoying inner tranquility, undisturbed by external circumstances. And then remember, there is no true peace in our life without God's grace being poured out on us first. So he just has a greeting to there. "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Then we get into a verse that it is amazing. "Blessed be, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Bless, as we see in the title there, in this situation, it means praise be given to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has blessed us? What tense is has? Past. And I know that you realize that, but let's just stop for a moment. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have His whole name, Jesus, there. Lord is His title. Jesus is His earthly name, which means Savior. Christ, who He is, the Jewish Messiah. And so blessed be the God and Father, all glory be given to Him, and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Who has literally means already blessed. And that's very important for us today, that God is communicating to us the blessings that come from heaven are ours today. Every one of them are ours. So when we approach the Word of God, as we're going to in a moment here, and we look at some of these blessings, then we are to realize it's a done deal. When we look at these things, this is what God has done for us. Everybody with me? That is so important. So truly important. A lot of times people read scripture and they just zoom by it and they miss what God has done on our behalf. And it's right there. As I've said many times before, one of the most important principles in scripture is the principle of appropriation. What does appropriation look like? I have a need in my life. I'm a sinner. And like with Chilga there in the plane, I knew that we talked about his sins. We did. Until those sins are dealt with by the cross, those sins will send him, unfortunately, to hell. So he has a need. In his life, he has to come to that point. That's why I took him to scriptures in Romans chapter 10 there to talk about what you must do to be saved and all that. So I saw his need. We are to see our need. Then we're to see the truth that is found in scripture. And there we have it. But until we apply or appropriate that truth and it becomes ours, there's no fruit. There's no result. Until Chilga accepts Jesus and repents of his sin, the truth is there. Eternal life is there for him, but it's not his until he sees his need, then brings it into his life, it makes it his own, and he repents of his sin in that way. That's the way it is with the promises that we find in Scripture. Every promise, they say that there's over 7,000 promises in Scripture. I've never studied them. I've read them all because I've read through the Bible. I've read them all, but 7,000 promises that belong to us today. That's what Paul's saying. Blessed who has blessed us with every, that means all spiritual blessings, every spiritual benefit in the heavenly places. In other words, they are heavenly in their origin. Heavenly in their origin. That's where they come from for you and I. And so again, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We have every spiritual blessing because of Jesus Christ. Again, we are to remember that Scripture teaches us that without Jesus, we can do nothing. But with Him, we can do all things. Amen? Because He is our strength. So just for a moment, okay? Just for a moment. I'm not going to go into all of them. You can see on my notes here, on my notes right here, all those in yellow. Can you see the yeller? The yellers that are right there, I highlighted them there. There's over 40 blessings in chapters 1, 2, and 3. This is your homework, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, okay? If you don't do this, you're going to lose your salvation. You won't do that, that's for sure. We don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. But if you want to be blessed, how many want to be blessed? Yes. Okay. Go through chapters 1, chapters 2, and chapters 3, and you will find over 40 blessings just there alone that become ours because of what Jesus Christ has done. Wow. I'm telling you, it's amazing. This week, before we dive in, I want to tell you a story. On Sunday, after the service, Randall Dodge is the president of Horizon University, and I went down to Florida to meet with the people from the American Association, ABHE, American Higher Education, anyway, our accrediting agency, you know, it'll come to me. And so we have been a university, we have been given accreditation for 5 years. After 5 years, you have to reapply, and then you get a 10-year accreditation. And so we went down there last year after doing a lot of work. This is an over a three-year project to get reaccredited that we've been there. So last year we went down and they said, well, you need to do these 7 things before we can even consider you. So we came back, and this last year we've been working on it. So we went back down again. And so they're either going to say yes or no. Yes or no. And to us at that point. And so we go down, and Monday morning I got a suit and tie on, and Randall's got a suit and tie on, and Becky from San Diego has a nice dress on. And what you do is you go into this room, and there's these tables, the square tables there, and there's about 17, 18 commissioners, you know. There are all these people with all these initials after their names. They look the part. They really do, you know. You talk about being intimidated for, and so you walk in there. And as soon as you walk in, there's 3 of us, we walk in, they stand up. You know, and they're all prim and proper and all that, and they wait for us to sit down, then they sit down. And then the chairman of that group of people says a few things and gives us an opportunity, and Randall says a few things and all, and they ask us a few questions, and then they said, okay, now we're going to dismiss you, and they send us off into this room, okay, all by our itty-bitties, you know, and they send us there, and so we're waiting for them to make a decision. And then we come back in, you know, and we go through the same thing. We walk in there, and they all stand up. And then we sit down, and they sit down. And then we're going, okay, here's the moment. We have been working for 3 years to do this, you know. And now we're in their hands. We kind of felt we knew which way it was going to go. But then they go, and they said, you're accredited. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you what. I started crying. I really did. I don't know why. I'm getting soft in my young age, okay? I started the tears started coming down because of all the work. The blessing to hear those words. You with me? Now, why would we not cry when we hear the blessings that God has for us? Why would we not? Look in verse 4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. God, you're telling me that one of these blessings, you have chosen me? You have chosen me in Christ before the foundation of the earth. That's how important I am to you. I'm a dirt bag. Anybody go amen? Now, was that amen for me or for you? Dave? When you point, there's three, one, two, three, pointing back, okay, and all that. You mean, that's who I am in Christ? That's a blessing, is it not? That's who we are, not what we can be. If we are saved, that's who we are. Get it? That's who we are. And so what I do is I live my life in God. Yeah, there's all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of sad things, all kinds of warfare, all kinds of battles and all that. But this, in the midst of this, this is who I am in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Mean God that I have been predestined. We'll talk about that. You want to get into heavy nonsense? Okay, we'll get into it later on. No, I'm joking, nonsense. We'll get into that. But adoption, that's who I am. My son-in-law, John David Webster, has been adopted. He speaks so highly of his parents because they chose him. Where his mom was in a situation too young and she had to put him up for adoption. And her parent, John David's parents chose him. And really, when you talk about it, he is so elevated and blessed by that reality. God has chose you, Jim. Isn't that amazing? Huh? Yes, sir, it is. I think so. Think about that. Dave, God has chose you. Matter of fact, He chose you before He set the earth in place, foundation to this earth in place. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. Jim, God has chose you. That's what it says. Look at it right there. Having predestined Jim to be adopted as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Is that not amazing? That's who we are. We don't go around puffed up. We go around totally humbled, but we know who we are in Christ Jesus. That's what He's trying to teach us here. God's wealth for you and I. You got a few minutes for something more? That was weak, but I'm going to go anyway. I don't care what you guys say, okay? Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Today, the Bible tells us that we can go boldly into the very throne room and speak to Dad. Father, Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Father. Is that not amazing? We that are finite can speak to He who is infinite. We that are limited can speak to Him that has created this whole universe, and He reveals Himself to us. Blessing? Why wouldn't we cry? That was a blessing. It was a blessing on Monday morning. But why wouldn't we cry when we look at these? Wow. Look at verse 7. In Him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. There is no limit to the forgiveness of our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. That's our God. That's what he's done in each and every one of our lives. Notice in verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. We know the mystery of his will. We do. And so, are we not blessed? Don't we serve an awesome God? And think about this. Thank you for saying that. Yes, with boldness, gusto. Listen to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. In light of all we've talked about today, we are to be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it, will continue and complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the God we serve. Amen? So you have a homework assignment. Just go through, find over 40 of them, and make sure you allow opportunity for tears to roll down your cheeks, because this is what God has done for you and I. Father, we thank you so much. We love you for all that you have done for us. Just an amazing book, an amazing reality, and we just love you today. Bless us, Lord.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through.